Good evening. Great to see you tonight. I forgot we had a bumper. I don't know how I forgot that jacket tonight, but I was a bit keen to get up here and share with you. Hey, a number of years ago, I was leading some summer camps down at a campsite called Coolamatong on the Gippsland Lakes. And we had a bunch of year 7 and 8 kids that came on these camps. We'd get about 30, 35 kids along from a whole range of different backgrounds. Some of these kids were from Christian families, some were from foster care, and some were from tough backgrounds that had been sponsored to come along, maybe about 10 or so in each of those categories. So it was a real mix of kids on these camps, and we go away for 7 days, so if you think youth camp is a long camp, we do 7 days, Saturday to Saturday, and then die and survive the next week somehow. And we do a whole lot of fun stuff, a whole lot of outdoor ed activities. And each and every day we would speak about Jesus, share faith, explore questions that these kids had together. It was an amazing week. I did it 4 times this camp and loved every camp that I went on as part of these camps. And while I was running them, we played a whole lot of pretty crazy games. We had one game that some of you would know where we got a tarp and we'd pin it down on the ground and put a whole lot of detergent on it and water and played a whole lot of good slippy and sliding games that afternoon and had a whole lot of fun together. And when you're running a game like that, you always feel nervous because there's a high chance that someone will get hurt. And you're always looking for ways to try and make it safe, to try and make it enjoyable for everyone. Well, I breathed a sigh of relief at 4:30 when the game was over. And nobody was injured. Everything went really well. And everyone was heading back to the campsite to have their showers and do whatever and get ready for dinner. And a couple of the kids and a few of the leaders were left mucking around at this tarp. And I was cleaning up, picking up some stuff, and two of our year 7 boys thought it would be a great idea to see what would happen if they ran from opposite ends of the tarp and slid into each other, and thought it would be great to just see the results of this. You never know what might happen when you slide into each other. The problem with year 7 boys is they don't communicate very well. They're great in many aspects except for using their words to plan ahead what they want to do. And these two boys didn't communicate whether they were sliding on their feet or on their side, and had one each way. One charged up full speed on his legs, the other charged up full speed and dived onto his side, and I just heard this almighty scream as one boy slid through the legs of the other one, took out his legs. And I came running over to have a look as leaders gathered around this boy, and he was screaming in pain, and looked at his leg, and I just felt sick. All of this stuff, these ideas that I had about keeping the kids safe, it all kind of crashed because I looked at his leg and I knew it was broken. And I felt so guilty, I felt so bad, I'd let him down, his family, the friends, and I was feeling sick at calling his mum and telling him what had happened. This was one of the foster kids that had been sponsored to come on the camp. And I felt sick at calling the manager of the campsites and telling him what had happened and what consequences there'd be. And pretty quickly, in that moment, we realized, well, we've got to call the ambulance. And so that kind of escalates everything. And so we got on the phone to the ambulance, and they were about 15, 20 minutes away. So we kind of stood around with a few of this guy's mates. And that morning, we'd spoken about healing. And we as leaders had stood up and said to these kids that we believe God is a God who heals. God is a God who leans into the events of our lives, and in miraculous ways, he heals people from sickness, illness, injury. And these kids who had never been in a church before, had never been in any kind of faith setting, looked at what was happening and said, well, you guys said your God heals. Why don't we pray for him and see what God does? And a few of the leaders said, well, that's a great idea. Let's do that. I've got to admit, in my heart, I wasn't there. I responded in my heart and said, God won't heal him. We've got to deal with the consequences. This is our fault as leaders that we didn't do the right job and we can't try and get out of this one. God's not going to heal this kid's leg. But I joined in the prayer for a couple of minutes and my mind was just elsewhere, just racing, and pretty soon excused myself to go and look after the rest of the camp and called the director up to let him know what was happening. There was an ambulance on the way and they prayed and prayed and eventually the ambulance turned up. The paramedics looked at this kid's leg and said, yep, it's broken. We've got to get him to the hospital. Loaded him up into the ambulance. We put a leader in the ambulance with the paramedics and took him away. They gave him the green whistle and then his, you know, screams started turning to jokes and he had a few wisecracks, but went off to the hospital with our leader. They got to the hospital and the doctors looked at his leg and said, yeah, that looks broken. We better x-ray it to see how bad it is. And a few hours later, I got a phone call from the leader that we'd sent with this kid. We were having dinner and the leader said, you'll never believe what's happening right now. We got here and the doctors said, yeah, it's broken. We better x-ray it and see what's going on. They did the x-ray, it came back, and the x-ray is completely fine. And his pain's going away as we sit here. And the doctors are convinced it's a mistake that we've got the wrong x-ray, that it's got his name on it, but it can't be the same one as the leg that they saw come in an hour ago. And they're wanting to re-x-ray his leg to find the break because they can't find it. And this kid who had never been in a church setting ever before started saying to these doctors, yeah, Jesus healed my leg. We talked about it at camp this morning and we prayed and Jesus healed my leg. And the doctors were like, what kind of crazy cult camp were you on? What kind of stuff are they saying? And anyway, they re-x-rayed his leg. They couldn't find anything. They said, well, it doesn't make sense. We need to keep you under observation for a little bit longer. A few hours later, they sent this kid back to camp unsure and said, look, maybe it might, you know, it might be a break that opens up over the next few hours, so come back if it gets more painful. Well, the next day, he kind of was doing like ollies off his crutches and mucking around, and a day and a half later, he was running around, no crutches, no nothing, just a bruise on his leg, that's it, no pain. Amazing. You wouldn't believe the change that this brought to the kids on this camp and the way God used this to speak of his power to these kids. I want to speak to you tonight about healing. And I believe God heals. I believe God is a God who heals in miraculous and powerful ways. I believe it in faith. I believe it because if God is the God of all creation, if he made all things, then surely he could intervene and change a situation. Surely if he really is God, I believe in faith he could lean in and he could heal. Why couldn't he? I believe in faith, and secondly, I believe because I've seen it with my own eyes, in my own experience. This story, and I've got some others, I've seen God heal. And thirdly, I believe because I read it. The Bible is full of story after story of times when God heals in the most miraculous and incredible ways. I want to read to you one of those stories tonight from Acts chapter 3, a story that has challenged me, encouraged me, that has led me a lot in this space. I want to read to you this story and share with you one example of healing that takes place in Scripture. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll read through to about verse 16. Verse 1, it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking the man by the hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our power or godliness we made this man walk?" And then he continues on in verse 16. He says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." What an amazing story. What an amazing declaration of God's power and authority over all things. That a man who was born lame, who has never walked in his life, in a moment, at the name of Jesus, stands up and starts walking. What incredible victory, what incredible power there is in Jesus' name. But this story leaves me with questions. I want to know why God heals here and not every time. Why doesn't God heal every time? Because this story is great and I love it and it's fantastic. But I want to know why sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. 2 years ago, Laura, my wife, had an injury to her wrist. Just came out of the blue. No cause. We didn't know what happened. It was extremely painful and meant that she had to stop working and we had to get a whole lot of treatment for it. And I was so sure that God would heal her wrist. And I was faithfully praying, and we prayed together often. I invited a whole lot of other people to pray. I got my small group to pray. I got youth to pray. I invited everyone to pray for Laura's wrist. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was so sure that we were just on the edge of a healing that would take place, on the edge of an amazing story like this in Acts. And I kept praying and praying and was so sure that God would heal. And it just got worse and worse and worse until eventually she had to get surgery on her wrist, something that very, very rarely happens for an injury like this. It's almost like my prayers were making her injury worse. Nothing fixed it, and then got the surgery and had months more of rehab. It was 7-8 months of disjointed work and a lot of pain before she got some use back in her hand. Why doesn't God heal every time? I was so sure that he would heal. I was so confident. I had the faith. I'd seen healings before. I read them. I believe in faith, and yet God didn't heal in this time. And maybe you've got stories. Maybe you've got times in your life when you've asked for healing and it hasn't come. Why? Well, tonight I want to speak to you about the purpose of healing. The reason why God heals. We could get into a discussion of me trying to prove to you that God heals. But I think that's a bit of an endless cycle that we could get stuck in if I try and prove healing to you. Because if you listen to my story about the kid with the broken leg, you might say, well, maybe you just misdiagnosed it, Lance. Maybe the paramedics got it wrong. Maybe the doctors got it wrong. Maybe his leg was never actually broken. It was just a mistake. And you could say that, maybe. I'm just telling you the story as I saw it. I don't know. I'm just telling you a story and what I witnessed, and I'm pretty sure I saw a broken leg and not, but if you disagree, that's up to you. In this story, well, this should be more clear cut, a guy who never walked, that's a miracle, isn't it? But a whole lot of people in this story didn't agree. Peter and John got arrested for this. They got put on trial of sorts. A whole lot of people thought there's some trick going on here. There's some other story. A lame person doesn't get up and walk. There's some other explanation. And so they started to interrogate Peter and John. And when they couldn't find what was going on, they sent them away and threatened them to just stop doing this. Stop telling these stories. Stop saying that healing in Jesus takes place because it's not true. The reality is, if you want to see healing, you've got to actually have the eyes to see it. It actually takes faith to recognize healing, to recognize a miracle when it happens. And there'll always be a way to explain it away. No matter what the story is, you can always find a way to say maybe this, maybe that, even when it seems so cut and dry, like a man who's never walked walks. There'll always be some who say, well, it's not a miracle, there's some other explanation, that doesn't happen. And so rather than trying to prove healing to you, I want to speak about why God heals. The purpose for healing that I believe that takes place in our lives. Because you see, the reality of our lives, the reality of our world is that all things are heading towards death. My body, your body, is gradually deteriorating. It might seem like a distant thought, but the reality of life is everything is heading towards death. Everything that you buy eventually wears out. It has a shelf life and you get rid of it, you throw it out because it becomes less and less useful. You buy a brand new shiny iPhone, if you're lucky, you get 22 months out of it, just short of your contract, and then you start longing for the next one so you can replace it and get a new one. Everything has a shelf life. Even the things that seem infinite, even the stars above us that seem to never move, never change, they have a lifetime. They're heading towards death as well. Everything in our universe is pointing and heading towards death. It's a bleak picture, I know. I'm sorry on a Sunday night that you came and wanted to hear some good stories, and this is what I'm saying to you, but however you shape it and cut it and look at it, it's true. Whether you want to acknowledge it or deny it, everything is heading towards this end point. It's the narrative of our lives, of our world. And the amazing thing about God is that He intervened in this story. He stepped into this story of death. He didn't create it to be like this. He created Adam and Eve in the garden for life. And then through disobedience, through certain decisions, we brought brokenness into this world. And the story of the Bible is a story that expands on that brokenness and reveals it and shows this narrative that we're all heading towards death. But by God's grace, He stepped into the story and took our flesh. Jesus, the Creator, comes into the world and doesn't hold us at arm's length, but takes on everything of our experience, even death. The Creator God, stepping into the story, taking on everything that we experience, even death. The most incredible thing of this story is not that Jesus is like us. He's not, how good is that, that He came and died, that He forgives me, that He washes me clean. The most amazing thing of this story is that He rose again, that Jesus was resurrected, that death did not rule Him, that death does not have control over Him, but He has victory over death. He has power and authority over death, and that through faith in Him, each and every follower of Jesus can join in that resurrection, can experience that hope, can live eternal life, can experience life after this life. You might want to call it heaven, perfection, something amazing. We have a hope to look forward to, that what we see in however many years we get of this life, there is better to come. That when Jesus came and ushered in His kingdom, He ushered in a hope of life after death, of life above death, that death is not the final dot point on your life, but there is more to come. What an amazing hope. What an amazing promise. The followers of Jesus can join in on this and be a part of heaven, but it doesn't stop there, friends. That's just half of the story. Because Jesus came to usher in His kingdom in full, but His kingdom is now. We experience a glimpse of, a part of His kingdom now, with the promise of the full kingdom yet to come. I want to read to you something from Luke 17, which illustrates this. The kingdom is now, and the kingdom is coming in full. Jesus says to those listening to Him in Luke 17 that the coming of the kingdom of God, or the coming of the kingdom of heaven, is not something that can be observed. You can't lock it down and know exactly what it looks like. People can't say, here it is, or there it is. That's what it looks like, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's already here. It's already among us. Some translations say the kingdom of heaven is within you. And so our role as the followers of Jesus is not to just live life waiting until we die to go to heaven, but to bring heaven to earth now, to experience heaven in this life now as we live. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus invites us to pray this into our world. You know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Next line, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. Jesus invites us to pray this prayer. Every moment of our lives, every prayer that we pray is about ushering heaven onto earth now, about building the kingdom that is coming in full on our earth now. We are to be a foretaste, a sense, an image. We're to allude to the kingdom that is coming in full. We don't wait 80 years or whatever you have, hoping that we can die so we can go to heaven, but we get to taste it now. We get to taste it in our lives. We get to experience heaven now on this side of life. And the most amazing thing, we get to give an example to others that heaven is here, is among us, that others might experience it through us and be drawn into this narrative, this story of life that goes beyond death. That's why the followers of Jesus would be crazy passionate about doing good things, about caring for people, about building community that welcomes others in. That's why we do crazy things like baking 1,000 cupcakes on our weekend and writing 2,000 post-it notes to put it on lockers at our school, because we want people to see the kingdom of heaven now. We get to live a foretaste of it. It's not about your salvation. You don't earn God's love. You don't earn your way into heaven, but we want to see God mold us and change us and transform us so that we could be a living essence, a presence, alluding to a glimpse of the full kingdom that is coming. You hear what I'm saying? And in the same way, the men and women of Jesus don't want to get caught up in dysfunctional behavior. Because when we opt out of this purpose for which we were made, we opt into the narrative that's heading towards death. The Bible says, don't be drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Instead, let God mold you and change you and make you into the man or the woman He created you to be. When we're drunk, we're opting out of the story for which we were made. It's not about salvation. It's not about good works. But drunkenness is joining in the narrative leading to death. Ain't nobody seeing the kingdom of heaven that's there for them when you're drunk. When you're looking at porn, you're opting out of the story for which you were made. You were made to be holy. You were made to be set apart. You were made to point to the full experience of heaven that is coming now in your life. When you're looking at porn, you're opting out of that story that you were made for. And when we're fighting, when we're swearing, when we're stealing, when we're lying, when we're jealous, when we're speaking poor things about one another, we're opting out of the purpose for which we're here, to bring heaven to earth now and let people join in on the full experience that is coming. And this is what healing is about. This is why God heals. That we don't control it, but God heals and ushers in His kingdom in a new and powerful way. In a way that we can't muster in our own strength. We can be nice people, but we don't get to heal in our own strength. Healing is about the reversal of this narrative of death. It's the ultimate reversal when all things are heading to death, and when healing takes place, it's like everything inverses and heads the other way. When a lame man who could never walk stands up and walks, it alludes to the full healing that is coming. His legs are just a taste of the full healing of the new body, of the complete body and life and experience that is yet to come for him. Do you get what I'm saying? Healing is about the reversal of death, about the changing of all experiences that we've had. Healing is not something to be afraid of or intimidated by or not understand, but it simply alludes to the kingdom that is coming in full. We simply get a foretaste of the promise that is coming. And it's a story that we're each invited into. It's not a story for the crazy believers, the crazy people of faith that can muster up all of their courage and pray some bold prayer and speak in some particular way. It's not for just those people that are nuts crazy about God, that can do ridiculous things and have amazing faith. If it was about that, if it was about your faith, then my stories would be the other way around, yeah? I had no faith and someone was healed. I had complete faith and healing didn't come. If healing was about our faith, our gifts, our skills, what we could muster, my stories would be around the other way. But by God's grace, they're not. And healing isn't about you. Healing isn't about me. It's not about what we can muster. It's not about our skepticism or wisdom or faith or whatever we sit in some scale of how much we believe God can heal. It's not about us. If it were, it wouldn't be God's kingdom that healing would point to. Think about it. If it was about my faith, if it was about my prayers, about my skills, then any healing that took place would be more about me than God. It would be my kingdom that I'd be ushering in. It would be my kingdom that people's healing would be a result of. Anything that happened in their lives would point to me. But God in His grace takes that away from us. We don't control healing. We don't control what He does. We don't get to choose the mechanism because when it comes, it's about Him. It's His kingdom that is coming in full that healing points to. And so we don't have to worry about the mechanism. We don't have to worry about the way in which healing comes, when it happens, how it happens, why it happens. We simply step into the brokenness and darkness and evil. We step into the narrative of this world that all things are heading towards death. And we say, God, do your thing. Whatever it is that you want to do, do it. Whatever it is that you want to heal, heal. And let us point to and show others the foretaste of what is coming for them. I can't tell you why God does or doesn't heal. It's not up to me. It's not up to my kingdom. It's about His work. He chooses the mechanism. He chooses the work in which healing takes place. And healing takes on many forms. Physical healing speaks of His power against the odds. Physical healing speaks of the new body promised for every one of us after death. And this guy got new legs, got a new ability to walk, but it's just a foretaste of the full healing that is coming for him and for others. Spiritual healing is about the reversal of work that has happened in our life. It's about the releasing of us into this world to see God's kingdom coming, to recognize His miracles as they happen, to see things like we've never seen before. Spiritual healing allows us to step into the midst of the darkness and the evil of this world and say there's more to it. There's a kingdom coming. There's hope beyond what you see and feel in this life. Emotional healing is about freeing us from the bondage that holds us back. Each one of us picks up scars in this world that we live in. Each one of us picks up a weight and hurt. And emotional healing is about the release and victory over these things that are holding us back. We don't choose the mechanism. We don't choose the way. We don't choose how these forms of healing are given. God does the work. And it's in His grace and by His power we simply step in and invite Him to move. And healing isn't about healing itself. You know, we can get so caught up talking about healing. So caught up trying to understand. So caught up in debates. So caught up in excitement when something happens that we didn't expect, that we can miss the point for which healing is given. Healing isn't about healing itself. It's about pointing to God. It's about pointing to the hope that all can join in on next. That guy in Acts 3, what did he do when he received his healing? It said he got up and he started walking and jumping and doing what? Praising God. He didn't get up and start celebrating his healing. Although that was exciting, although that was great, he got up and started praising God. He realized his healing was just a foretaste of the greater healing that was yet to come. He wasn't so concerned about his walking, but more about the God that would heal his whole body, his whole mind, his spirit that would bring in healing to his whole life. Healing isn't just about the healing itself, but what it points to. If you went to a dinner party and they had the most amazing pork crackling as the main, because pork crackling is the best meal you could ever taste, and they gave little hors d'oeuvres at the start, and you got a taste of those hors d'oeuvres, you said, "That's it, I'm done, I'm out, that was delicious," and you left before the main, what a fool you would be. That delicious, sweet crackling is on the way, and you opted out. You celebrated the hors d'oeuvre when the main was on the way. What a sad story that would be. And what a sad thing that we would celebrate healing and not look at the reason for which it is given. The kingdom that is yet to come. So many people in this story looked at the healing and started celebrating that, started praising Peter and John. And Peter had to say to them, it's not about the healing. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom that is coming. It's about the greater healing that each one of you can be a part of. Don't celebrate the healing. Join in on the healing that it alludes to and points to that is coming for you. That's why Luke 17 is so powerful. When Jesus says you can't point to one part of the kingdom and say, there it is. You can't control it and understand it. The kingdom isn't about you. The kingdom that is coming in full isn't about your strength and your passion and your ability, but about God's work in our midst. Healing is about the reversal of this narrative. The reversal of all things that are leading to death. We don't choose the mechanism. We don't choose the way. We don't get to opt into what we want in this story. We don't get to control it. We simply get to step into the darkness of this world to become a part of the purpose for which we were made and to let the kingdom that is coming be experienced now. In this place, in our world, we don't have to wait until we die, but the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is here. And as we step into the brokenness of this world, when God heals and reverses that trend, it becomes a glimpse of the kingdom that is coming for all. A kingdom that is coming that each one is invited into, that you and I are called to be a part of. Let's jump on our feet. We're going to worship Him together. We're going to praise Him in this moment. And I believe that there is healing needed for us. Among us, there is a great need for healing in this place tonight. And we don't get to control it. We don't get to make sense of it or get a say in the mechanism and how healing comes. We simply get to opt in and be a part of it. We get the opportunity to be a part of ushering in heaven to this earth now, of being a witness to the greater healing that is yet to come for all. And you are a part of this story. It doesn't bother me how skeptical or how faithful or how wise you feel. It's not about you. Like I said, in my story, I had faith and I didn't have faith, and the story rolled out in unexpected ways. We get to be a part of bringing this kingdom to earth. Now, I just want to invite some of our leaders and our prayer team to just stand at the sides of the room, the back of the room, the side down here. If you're a staff member or a leader in a ministry, I just invite you to be ready to pray for people. We want to be available for God to do His work tonight. We don't know how, we don't know what, we don't control it, but I believe there is healing coming for many in this place tonight, for many in our city this week. I believe there is power coming, a kingdom to be revealed soon. And we want to be a part of that. Maybe for you it's physical healing. Maybe for you it's emotional healing. Maybe there's some spiritual healing that needs to take hold of your life. As we worship Him together now, as we stand in His presence, would you let go? Would you let Him take control? Would you let Him own the space in your life? Let His kingdom come in your life now. Let's worship Him together. Let's lift up His praise.